Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, on this really sweltering hot November 9th, 2016. So technically, I think it's 1 o'clock, but it's actually 12 o'clock because of daylight savings time. It is November, and it's 92 degrees right now. Crazy. Love it. So today, we are going to talk about entitlement. And unlike most of the episodes where I talk about something into something you want for yourself or something you're trying to, gain a conversation thread on so you could have a conversation with someone else, we're going to be talking about those people with entitlement and not talking at you as if you have any entitlement. Now, we probably all have a little bit, but there are some entitlement that I think is just and some entitlement we have to remember, like the Republic, where you have inalienable rights because you exist. That sort of entitlement is something that's definitely 100% your property. So we know, I think if you watch these videos, unless this is like the very first video you've ever watched, if you're a longtime watcher, you know that we roll pretty humble. All the listeners, all the commenters, again, everyone's so gracious with your comments, and you're just good people. You just are. Look at our channel. It's crazy. And by making these episodes 1 hour or more, that is the protection barrier we have against trolls. Again, I think I've only blocked like 2 people in 2 years. And they only made a couple comments. I don't even know if they would have come back. Entitlement. So we just had an election last night, and it was so healthy on so many levels. And one of those levels was entitlement. There was a group of people that thought their candidate should have won. When that character did not win, you had the reactions all tainted with entitlement. They were flabbergasted. They were shocked that the voting process isn't a guarantee that they win. Facebook right now is blowing up with all these ball babies who are not commenting that I'm sad I lost or I don't like that candidate as much as saying, how could this have ever been anything other than what I wanted to have happen? But I think for the very first time in my personal life, I think I can see where it came from. I have friends of mine, extremely close friends of mine, who supported the candidate that lost. Throughout the night, they called me up for one thing, and they talk about their candidate losing. And they were trying to tell me over the phone how much was at stake and how, if my candidate won, that how much the world was going to end. And the funny thing is, these are grown adults. The funny thing is they don't have any knowledge of anything, research-wise. Politics, meh. History, no. And they don't have any cause and effect models in their brains, right? You know, the only history that's really valuable is the one that has the cause and effect chart. You do this, this happens. You do this, this happens. Hey, if we say we don't want this to happen, then we don't do this. But the person, this is where the thread comes out of the sweater. I'm very mentioning this one person very specifically. Because all he could say, almost shamefully, were the tiny little sound bites that the press gave him. I did not hear and have not heard from this person a single original thought about why they think their candidate should win over the other candidate. Not a single thought. So last night, when he called me up with this private-for-profit media diarrhea coming out of his mouth about how butthurt he is that, again, we have an election process that soldiers die every single day to protect that voting process, if I figured it out. Now, there's people that this isn't going to be terribly profound, but it's something I want to say slowly so your brain goes straight to it. So I take my buddy and put him on pause. He calls me up with this quaffy aroma of entitlement. He is just deathly concerned about the universe if his candidate doesn't win. And all he can say is mass media press stuff. So when you look in his heart, you're like, oh. When you look into his mind, you're like, oh, I see where you got all that stuff. Your mouth is incapable of creating its own original thought. All you're doing is talking about who filled you up. Well, what is the other huge organization or huge body of people that are utterly shocked and quaffing entitlement on a level that is phenomenal? The press. I sat there last night, and we're going to have to start using the names of the candidates so you can just understand. But every single time Hillary Clinton was starting to lose throughout the election, the tone of voice and the choice of words in the press went as follows. Oh, Hillary might lose. And when Trump started gaining anything, even the stuff that they knew he would win, their tone was, oh my God, you know, this Trump guy, he could actually win something. Oh my God, what? How could he be winning right now? I mean, I don't even understand how he could be winning. Now, sometimes we have friends and we don't talk to them that often. And so when they call you and they're all chatty, you're sort of like, well, I haven't talked to them in a long time. I guess that's, based on what they're telling me, that's what they've been doing with their life. Some guy, you know, goes to Hawaii 5 times in a month, and he talks about Hawaii a lot. All right, well, I guess that's what my buddy's doing. I don't really know. But then you have friends that you spend a lot of time with. You live next to them. You share business with them. Whatever. However you're getting in close proximity to them. And then you start to see the beautiful flow of their minds. Where they spend their time, how they get their information, and whether or not they let that information act as a chisel on the marble that is their being. We always say turn your TVs off, right? We say turn your radios off. And mainly we're trying to say the commercials are bad. The programming is bad. But we always think of it as a fictional sitcom. It's a fictional story. It takes a fictional story to program you. Commercials, well, they just sell you bullshit and they make your attention span slower and slower, right? Or I should say smaller and smaller, right? But I think that it's taken me quite a while to realize that other than those two arteries, the other big one is news. Now, it's no mystery that news affects you poorly in this world, because again, it's owned by 4 corporations. AP Reuters is the same organization owned by the Rothschilds in the 1850s. So it's an incestuous group of folks. You know, once the military allows a network to embed in them, then the military completely controls them. There's no free press of any embedded nature. If you even have one group embedded in one theater of war, they get to control by proxy the entire news organization, and that's the case. That's the case. It's the way it works. Okay. And you know, it's probably tough to say, we're going to have a war, we're going to have reporters that can report, and there's no precaution about how that's done. You know, there has to be some protocol if you embed yourself in war, because you might know troop maneuvers, you'll know base locations. All that information is very vital to how the war turns out. Not that we should be at war at all, but you know, once we embed, they shouldn't allow embedding, and then there should be a mechanism to view what's going on, but not to view privileged information. I think you feel me. Okay. But I don't think that a sitcom programmed my buddy. I don't think that a commercial programmed my buddy necessarily. Maybe an ad, political ad, but only political ads. The news program, my buddy. Now, let me make an analogy here. What if somebody said they loved music, they listened to music a lot, and you go, well, really? Well, what do you like? And they sing a little jingle to you, shave and a haircut, 2 bits, right? And you go, oh, well, okay, that's kind of interesting. Can you sing another one to me? And it's all like soap jingles, really tiny little one-sentence songs. Now, without asking them any other questions, by just repeating, please sing me another song, please sing me another song, you start to realize that whoever you're talking to doesn't really listen to music. They listen to jingles. And you don't, in fact, you could probably just listen to the jingles and you could triangulate in your brain where they live, what time of day they watch this stuff. You know, if it's a bunch of AARP commercials, they're probably watching in the middle of the day, you know. If it's a bunch of toy commercials, they're probably watching a Saturday morning during cartoons, right? But my buddy's little one-line catchphrases about why the world was going to end if Donald Trump made it into presidency were straight out of Hillary Clinton's pedophile-layered, Podesta-driven campaign. And so I sat there, you know, I sat there and just listened to him. I know that he was hurting and he needed to vent, so I'm cool with that. No sweat off my back. I fully thought Hillary was going to steal the election, quite frankly. I was still telling him the whole time on the phone. I said, your chick's going to win. It'll be a last-minute thing, but she'll win. But very quickly, after listening to my buddy, I realized that he didn't have any real deep knowledge about anything. And he was a Bernie supporter before he was a Hillary supporter. And so we're on the telephone, and I said, you know she stole the election from Bernie, right? What was his answer? None of that matters now. Well, you know she wants to start a war with Syria by restricting airspace, thus creating a war with Russia. None of that matters now. Here's the problem. Well, one, we need to identify that the news, as reported, is a lot more powerful and destructive than we've ever previously understood. Now, if you watch my show all the way through, I think you'll be pretty equipped to watch the news and not lose your mind, watch the news and decipher through what's going on. All of what's really going on, all the agendas are right in front of your face. You just have to know how to read it. And what's funny is my friends who read it and believe it are always confused and upset. And once I read it and filter it, life becomes, it's almost like a predictive programming website. This is what's going to happen, and this is actually why it's going to happen. And then you kind of, oh, I see, so the cause and effects and the benefits and the drawbacks are over here, while the public is paying attention to this claim over here. And I've spent years and years now, almost 10 years, reading the news and going, oh, I completely get it now. But the tone through the voice was really one of, this is the way I want it to be, and I can't believe it's not happening the way I want it to have happened. Now, when you raise children, you understand that children think that all the time. That's part of the most fundamental learning process for a child, is to learn you can't have what you want all the time. That's entitlement, right? But for people over 40, all right, you pretty much have no excuse. And I only say 40 because you have a big man-child syndrome going on in America. What we have done is built a society out of people that don't have the academic ability to get what they need or want. They don't have perhaps the communication ability to articulate what they want, to communicate. So what they've done is they've said, as long as you can bawl like a baby and lean on one of these crutches that we've created for you, take your pick. You can blame your race, you can blame your sexual orientation, you can blame your immigration status, I mean, you can blame anything. Your gender. Then you can make things happen, because these are entitlement envelopes, and entitlement envelopes are a bit like Trojan horses to the real cause and effect model of society. Now, if I wanted to build a wing on my house, how do you do that? Well, you get off your lazy ass. You design something on paper, you go get your permits, you hire your team, or you buy all the shit, you have it delivered, you bust your ass for 6 months, and it's there. That's how you actually do it. But in the world of behavioral models and behavior manipulation from one human to another, this emotional social justice warrior stuff is all about, oh, you want something? Oh, you don't have any money, do you? Hey, don't worry about it. I got a cousin in the organization, and here's what you do. You go and you accidentally slip and fall in the water. You ball, but you're going to hurt your feelings instead of your body. And I guess I should say you slip and fall on a statement from someone else. And then when you fall and you get all butt hurt emotionally, then you can go into the organization and extort out of that organization whatever you want, man. Whatever you want. Just tell them how offended you are. And it works. It totally works. Look at all these people doing it. And they can point at these organizations and say, look, it works. Now, what's interesting about entitlement is when you look at the idea of the law of attraction. There was a swell while the world was made of good people that believed that you had to actually work to get what you want, that you had to share the world with other people, that soldiers actually die for the freedom of choice, not for the freedom of dictatorship. When those folks ran the world, they definitely would argue and bicker and have their hearts broken during elections, but they didn't come out like children the next day, accusing everyone else of being stupid. Now, interesting thing in America is that we just had Barack Obama go for 8 years, and whether or not you think he was great or bad, if you believe in a two-party system, then the Blues just had two terms. In this country, it is healthy to flip the polarity regardless, because you need to hear from your constituents on the other side. Because this idea that you're blind and you're pretty sure Disneyland is this way and you're driving in fog with 1-inch visibility, well, you could be wrong. You're driving in fog, you know you are. Your hubris would be the only thing that would tell the people in the car that are the passengers that you'd think that the last little blade of grass you were able to see on the ground was definitely closer than to Disneyland instead of further away. Entitlement is an interesting thing to sort of integrate with your position in society, right? There used to be this idea that we were sort of a collective on a continent, on an island, and we sort of knew that we had to lobby with each other and figure out how we want to run this place, and we live in that collective consciousness. And then someone walked up ingeniously and nefariously and said, oh, well, you know what I think we should do is we make the coastal people one group and the inland people another group, since they have different needs and desires, and we'll vote like that. So the coastal people vote their needs, inner people vote their needs. And in the end, it'll all average out. But instead of electing a president that's job is to summarize the two, the president at the tippy top of this game is aligned with either the center, aligned with either the outside coastal people. And so now when we elect a president, it's either going to benefit one of the two groups. And so the other group's terrified and angry, and uncertainty and fear creates this panic. And it creates a destructive force for the other group, unless you have a good president. But the whole thing is fucked by design, right? It's completely screwed by design. It divides and conquers an entire group of people on a continent. It almost seems like, you know, if you had a pretty big island, like the Big Island in Hawaii, right? That the leader of the Big Island should live on another island, either a teeny island or just the next one over. And that way, he or she would be impartial to the actual cause and effect of their decision-making process on the original island. And as long as they follow a code of conduct, their job is to equally serve both groups. But that's not how the system's worked out, right? Unfortunately. The wet dream of those who run the world is to keep us pitted against ourselves, against each other, to keep us unhappy and then blaming someone who doesn't actually cause that to happen. Now, here's what's interesting about the people that are all upset today. They're good people. They actually are really good people and have huge hearts. In my world, a lot of them are the most successful people that I know. Successful actors, artists, directors, everything, writers. But what's interesting is, of those folks, because they are so busy and successful, again, they don't know anything about world history to any degree. They have no cause and effect models for political science. If you asked them who all the vice presidents were for the last 40 years, maybe they get half. So what do you do when you find out that there's a good group of people that have been completely misled and they're living in this quaffing entitlement, especially when they behave badly? What's interesting is, it's one thing to vote and be upset that your candidate didn't win. It's okay to be shocked that your candidate didn't win. Although, again, if you get all your information from the press, obviously now the lesson's learned. These organizations cannot be trusted on any level. Fox News was absolutely a Hillary organization, if there ever was one. I don't know if they were actually really shocked, but I think they were. They had been told, and someone whispered in their ear, oh, this is all going for Hillary, so do not help Trump. Don't do it, because in the end, you're going to look like a douche supporting the right. And then as the night progressed, everyone who's been slinging mud realized, oh crap, now I have just alienated the group that just won. And God forbid this guy actually does anything that he says he's going to do. What's going to happen then? You have friends online that are separating. I unfriended about half a dozen because they're just such remote friends. I don't really talk to them anymore. And they were spewing stuff like, if you voted for Trump, don't ever talk to me again. And I'm serious, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, fine. I don't really want a lot of friends on virtual worlds anyway. I want friends in real life, you know? But now let's think about the effect of being entitled and then losing. Now, what if we didn't have a press corps that was a private for-profit press corps embedded with the government such that they are controlled by the government? And so they never pushed forth this notion that your candidate was guaranteed to win because we did some polls and oversampled your side versus your opponent's side. That's what happened. That's why all the polls were all messed up. And everyone kept trying to tell from the right, we're trying to say, or from the center, I should say, we're trying to say, look, they just sampled, 40% more Democrats than Republicans. Of course, she's going to squeak by with an approval. But even with a massive surge and disproportional sampling from your side, she only wins by a point or 2 points, which means if you balance that whole thing out, she's going to lose miserably. And so expectations are never an attribute of entitlement. Your expectations are whatever you want them to be in an entitlement model, right? And really, again, we're talking about those people who are entitled. I'm not talking to you personally. So the wild feedback loop, a feedback loop is where a signal gets louder and louder and louder and more powerful, 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 because it comes out, goes in, goes out, comes in. And once you put your guitar up to an amplifier, you get that thing. Put a mic next to an amplifier. The real mindfuck in this whole thing. Sorry, I just got to use a few words because they're the best words to use to make my point here. Is that people already had this entitlement from previous experiences before the election came by, that they just get what they want. They whine and they cry and they bawl, baby, and the parent just gives in, right? The parent just gives in and gives them what they want. By having a president that is a horrible parent of a country, and because his job is to keep us divided, he kept passing laws, extra laws on top of things, to satiate this and ferment this sort of centrifuge of human beings that know very little about how the world works, But their egos are so massive, because perhaps their professional careers are very successful, that they have this God syndrome about everything. I know everything because I know this one thing really, really well. And what's funny is the more my friends have exceptional talent and exceptional records with their talents, they're celebrated actors on television, celebrated actors in film, celebrated directors in film and television, writers, etc. They were the most entitled people. Now, there's plenty of folks with none of backgrounds like that, but they're the new breed of, hey, I'm actually very unaccomplished in life. I don't want to think that about myself, so I'm going to think this other fantasy thought about myself that I'm super accomplished, and that'll feed, and I'll just live off entitlement sandwiches, you know? But by the news fermenting up in their brain that they were going to get their way one more time, it's like Veruca Salt's father who just pays for everything that she wants. She wanted a golden ticket, so what does he do? He opens a million cases of chocolate to get one bar. It's just brute force, right? Well, what's happening inside the brains of these entitled people, it's a brute force algorithm of, I will just will it into my life. And because they get surrounded by folks just like them, who would rather be entitled into a career than study and get good at a career, let's just say as an example, when it doesn't work out, when the rest of us are completely fed up with this ball baby society, this emotion campaign, right? At the very end of the campaign, what was very fascinating to me was that Donald Trump says, let's make America great again. And that's defined by great jobs, great education, taking care of our veterans, and a bunch of issues. Hillary's last statement to her entire body was, don't vote for hate. Now, when is it that you're picking a leader for your country and you don't tell them how, or that you don't care about the issues of what she's going to do? My buddy has never listened to me once, not once, and we've had plenty of conversations about any issues of Hillary's campaign. When I asked him outright, I said, look, tell me what you think Hillary's running for. It was like crickets times 10. The other thing that's interesting is that the amount of Democrats, or I should just say, I shouldn't say that, the amount of folks that were supporting Hillary in my circle of friends who don't believe that you should have the rights for guns. Seriously, you don't have the right to even have one, let alone hunt with one, defend yourself against one, who said that they said either directly or indirectly that they would shoot Donald Trump, which is thankfully now an utter felony, right? It's interesting how they were going to the darkest place you could possibly go. But let me tell you where this is coming from, and let me tell you why my friend's saying this. The Democrats are, or I shouldn't say that, the folks that supported Hillary through this thing are very unhappy with their lives. Extremely unhappy with their lives. They're into the game of pretending that they're not unhappy, but they really are. And when you have a very unhappy fabric to your life, things aren't working out the way you want it to, you believe, again, you're entitled to a bunch of stuff that may or may not be something you deserve. It's even more frustrating when you do deserve something, right? Because you've worked hard your whole life. But this idea, what ended up happening with a lot of my friends was I could see that they're very self-loathing, or at least they hate their life. They may love themselves, but they hate their life. Trump was a nice punching bag for them. They just externalized everything onto this guy. And the funny thing that just works beautifully, and there's more psychology to this, and maybe I can create an episode on it once I figure it out more myself, is that one of the campaign folks for the Clintons in the 90s came out and he said, look, one of our tactics that works brilliantly is that if we're guilty of something, we drum up charges through paid off tabloids and press to accuse our opponent of that, right? So, you know, rape charges accused against Trump were always rape charges that were actually done by Bill Clinton. This idea that Trump was going to cause World War III, when it's actually Hillary's talking about launching nukes and declaring war on Syria and Russia. In her campaign stomps, right? This isn't some covert back, you know, meeting or a WikiLeaks chain. This is her telling you why she should be elected president and saying, when I give the order for nukes, you got 4 minutes to comply or else, right? So that's a very effective technique. Accuse the other guy of what you're guilty of. And it just confuses people that don't spend any time learning anything, right? So right after that election last night, you know, something really interesting took place. Oregon, California. Portland, Oregon. Now, if you were to go to Portland, Oregon and talk to the people there prior to, you know, any election, if you're out of the sequence of elections, and you just ask them how they are as people, they would tell you that they are the nicest, most heartwarming, loving, caring, giving people. And I've been there. And that's definitely sort of the thing that I saw. But you know what happened last night? These crunchy people got into the streets of Portland and essentially rioted downtown. I don't think there's any structural damage. A friend of mine was down there recording live on Facebook. He was doing a live streaming on his phone. Very interesting to watch it live. I think he filmed 4 hours continuously. It's pretty wild. I just kept jumping in and watching. I'm like watching downtown Portland live, which is the best kind of journalism you can get, right? But I woke up this morning and I was reading through the rags online, and it was that people chanted that they wanted to kill a felony capital murder, common law buster, Donald Trump. That's what they said. They wanted to kill Donald Trump. I'm sitting here thinking about all these fucking wannabe DJs I met up there, living with their parents or their friends' sofas, right? I was thinking, wow, this doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump. Their protest is a statement saying, we have grown very accustomed to living off of socialistic behavior. Mental socialism and real-world socialism, right? And we will kill so that we don't have to actually grow up and be real, responsible human beings. We will kill so that we don't have to acknowledge the Constitution of the United States. We will kill because we don't respect the lives that have been lost since this continent was formed into America, with either the colonies or the whole shebang, right? In their brain, there's no cause and effect between what they're saying in the real world. They're merely defending their position to take and be entitled. And what's interesting about it is that if any one of these people were to come out, say 2 years from now, stand downtown with a bullhorn and shout on a bullhorn that they wanted to kill the president of the United States because they're upset, the Secret Service would be at their door and they would be watched for the rest of their lives. Believe me, their GPS would be tracked for the rest of their lives when it comes to political appearances of any politician, because this person has threatened the commander in chief, regardless of who that person is. If you can get to that level, it's almost like saying someone can kill a child. Well, if you can rationalize killing a child, then there's nothing that you can't rationalize. But what's great about the whole thing, for me, is that there's a lot of folks that hide who they are. They posture. And as long as they get their way, as long as their entitlement bubble isn't burst, they get to chameleon themselves and hide. But the beautiful thing about the election last night is that we turned these folks inside out. And they went to the streets and they really showed how they operate. It really allowed us to see how gullible people are. It allowed us to see how many people don't do research on anything, but then develop opinions that are unbelievable. One of the things I've realized as I've gotten older and met a lot of folks is that the more that you suffer, the more you truly tend to gain three-dimensional intelligence. Because in suffering, you really learn a lot of things And the key to that statement is it's not suffering for 1 year. It's suffering for decade after decade after decade. And I don't mean suffering in a way that you cry in your pillow at night and you wish the world would go away. I just mean things are a little tougher. No one's feeding you your money for your bills. You got to get out there and work. You have to reinvent yourself. You get older and maybe whatever you're doing for a living isn't as easy to get employed someplace else, yada, yada, right? But those who are privileged, who have actually been given the lottery ticket win through probably really hard work, right? They have an amazing talent and they share it with us and we reward them with our money. One, logistically speaking, they are so overwhelmed with that job that there isn't a lot of time left to go research things. If you're on a television show for 5 years, and you know, some people have been on shows for 25 years, your ability to come out of the envelope and stop what you're doing and smell the flowers and read something and learn something is almost non-existent because your life is a conveyor belt of get up in the morning, get to the studio, you know, reread your lines for today, go in on the studio, wait, shoot. Then you get the script for tomorrow or for next week and you start reading that, but then there's revisions and it just goes in an ancestral loop. They end up consuming decades of their lives in these privileged circles, but they have no ability to really learn anything. And the illusion is that they do. The illusion in the Midwest, let's just say, is they might view a Charlie Sheen and go, oh my God, he must have so much money. He's got the time and he's going to just hire the best tutors in the world and he'll become an expert in all the things he wants to become an expert in. I'll tell you, if anyone really pulls that off, they've worked really hard to pull it off, or they took a break, or when their show is not being filmed, they really, instead of just recharging their batteries, they went into the acidic world of learning, you know? I say it that way because they would maybe view it that way. So in that regard, you know, we have celebrity worship sites that ferment this social justice warrior thing. Their articles are all based on emotion, not on facts, not on deeds, just emotions. So-and-so got offended and therefore, boom, boom, boom. So when it comes to like a celebrity telling you what you should do with your life, I will promise you that regardless of how much money they have in the bank and how much of their crap you own, they are absolutely categorically not the people to listen to develop any expectation of life or to figure out how to carve your own life. Even when a Neil deGrasse Tyson gets, you know, goes from being a professor to being a television personality, he is no longer re-engaging the learning process. He's cashing in every day based on the knowledge he had when he came in. As long as he's slightly smarter than everyone else, he's a genius, and that's the way the world works. Perceptively, though, so, right? So again, this episode's sort of about you and I having a pretty good grasp on entitlement, meaning you know that the world's fair, which means that anything can happen. The people that say, well, life isn't fair, you know, I say this every once in a while, but the idea is, yeah, it is. It's totally fair. You could lose and you could win. And the only thing that would remotely put odds in your favor would be to learn about the world, learn the rules that rule you, as we say on the show here. And then maybe you could tip it a percent, half a percent, if you're super duper lucky, a deep percentage. But what do we do? Because we're talking about rebuilding the bottom of the pyramid, right? So how do we go through every single day and sort of fix this fabric of entitlement? Well, how would we describe the groups, the group of entitled people? How we categorize them so that we can develop different strategies for each group? Well, we know we have children that are, say, 13 and below. We have teenagers, pre-adolescent, and then various stages of adult. You have your single adult, you have your married adult, you have your grandparent adult. And then you have a bunch of different cross proliferations, right? Some people don't have any kids. Some people go to bars every day. Some people listen to music from their teenage years all the way up into their 70s because they can't handle modern day stuff, which I don't blame them. Well, the only thing we can do with kids is parent them. The beautiful thing about kids is they haven't really gotten off on any bad habits. And if they have bad habits, well, it's a hell of a lot easier to pound out of a child than it is out of a person who's been doing it for 10, 20, 30 years. I find that with children, the main thing that they know is a lie. They know an adult that's around them that lies. And it's very simple as a parent to become that person. You lie to them all the time because you think that that will help them out. You know, with my kid, I told her really quick, I said, look, you know, I'm not going to tell you every single thing that happens in the world because sometimes it's not fun and I don't think I should expose you to that. But if you ask me any question in the world, I will absolutely answer it truthfully to you. Now, I know personally if she asks me things that I think are going to freak her out, I then prep her for the answer before I give it to her. I make sure that she wants the answer. And it's worked out beautifully. But the number one thing is obviously you don't always get what you want. As Mick Jagger would say. But you do always get what you need. You know, that's the interesting thing. Such a great song. It's never too late to start restarting expectations and resetting expectations with anyone or anything, right? Just be gentle with it, right? To say, oh, you know, I understand that we haven't really been talking about this, but I understand why it looks like this should just be a foregone conclusion. It should just go your way. You know, one of the biggest things about this year's election for America was that we have an American dream. And what's weird is that as the kids who are really angry about someone trying to repair it, what that'll do is it'll take them from a socialistic mind stance of saying everything should be given to me to, okay, we fixed it. We fixed it all. There are plenty of jobs, plenty of great education. Now, you're at the starting line of your life and your destiny. Pick a direction, pick a vector, pick a target, pick a waypoint path. And I'm going to fire this gun and you go get it. Well, that means work and effort. You know, the notion is that they're tired, they're angry, and to be back at the starting line is going to be very painful for some folks. Now, I got friends of mine that are much older than I am who have had all their money stolen from them because of busts, you know, the economic busts. And so they saved up their whole life, and it's all gone. All that money's gone. They were privileged, and they didn't learn about business, and so they didn't know how to manage their money. They went into scam artists that swindled them right out of their cash. I'm hoping that one of the solutions as we look at these different models is that the press has become unreliable. I hope they lose in a massive amount of credibility. Maybe that's something we start repeating to our friends that are struggling. Well, you know, we tried to warn you that those polls were completely slanted to one side, and that set an expectation in you that you were going to win. So maybe listening to those polls again is not such a good idea. Maybe that news network really doesn't have your best interests at heart. But I'll tell you what's going to fix this problem outright. And that is those of us who are not so entitled are going to, hopefully, in the next 4 years here in America, be able to get our destinies a little easier. The amount of work to get the destiny, hopefully, will be a little less challenging. Getting a great education, hopefully, is a little less challenging and a little less expensive. My buddy said something very insulting. Here I am, a Trump supporter. He's calling me up, and he absolutely knows I'm a Trump supporter. He angsts over that, right? And he starts going into the deplorables argument. He starts telling me, well, the reason why this idiot's winning is because all of these ignorant people in the Midwest are voting for him. Now, if you want to know the maximum arc of absolute entitlement, and oblivious mindset. I want you to think about that for a second. He is talking to a guy from Kansas who's a Trump supporter. And he essentially on the telephone with me insulted my entire people. Right? And again, I'm aware that he was extremely emotional, and I'm not here to get a free something out of him because I can prove to him how offensive he was or whatever, how insulting I should say. Offensiveness is bullshit. But, you know, I don't care. But that was his choice of words. And so I'm sitting on the phone with him, and I said, yeah, the deplorables. That's what you're just talking about, right? And the thing is our mutual friends who are the most wealthy, accomplished people are all from the Midwest. They're millions of times more successful than he is financially. And he's insulting as best he can to rationalize why his entitlement, why he didn't win, right? Because entitlement means you win all the time. All you have to do is want it and find a couple other people that want it too. But now here's the thing. I'm sure there'll be some reprisals against, you know, the United States for daring to elect someone who's not part of a secret society, right? Who isn't embedded with banking. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of punishment acts that they'll do on us. But in the end, if with a fully red Senate and House and presidency, if they're able to get things done quickly, life might get a lot better in the next 4 to 8 years. And I think we just quietly use this opportunity to not complain and not get into arguments with people and just go get our destinies. And in the end, those who are continuing to riot in downtown Portland, Oregon, they'll be living again with their mothers, living on sofas with their friends. And by the way, revered by their friends for doing so. I think it's hilarious. Last time I went to Portland, they introduced me to a guy and he said how amazing he was. Then they said, they pulled me aside and they go, yeah, he's living off his father's money and he doesn't work. He's a great DJ. Thinking, okay, where's his records? Like, I hang out with a bunch of people at the time that were 15, 20 years younger than me. I don't hear anyone listening to his music, so how great could he be? But they just were so revered. They just were so, you know, enamored with this guy. Just weird. It builds a clan of ineptitude. So we need to get out there and get our destinies going. Honestly, you know, on a global level, Europe needs to do what Britain does. Everybody needs to exit out of the EU. We need to get back to our own sovereign countries. We need to kick all these people out that have invaded and sequestered streets. We need to protect the dream of sovereignty and freedom. In America, we call it the American dream, right? Or it's really just America, the idea. The American dream is that you can bring your money here, work hard, or come here and work hard and make money and succeed. A buddy of mine last night, we smoked cigars after the election. And he said, you know what? He goes, we're at his, just sitting outside his folks' house. Father, extremely successful, raised 3 great kids, great mom, just a great family unit. And he said they moved here from Taiwan in the early 80s. And his father's like this brilliant oil worker. He drove like big oil rigs and stuff. He's a really super intelligent guy. He's retired now. But he said, you know, my dad came over. He goes, he had to go from driving these big tanker vehicles to working a minimum wage job in America because that's all he could do. The guy made like $3.50 an hour with a family of 3 and a wife. And then he got a slightly better job and he's making like 10, 15 bucks an hour for a while. And he got back into his game. But look at that. The guy didn't whine. He worked hard. You know, there's this whole thing about, and I just want to say this before exiting here. There's this whole thing that's going on with Trump's going to take the country back 30, 40, 60 years, right? Well, I don't know about 60 years, but I'll tell you this much. If he takes it back 40 years, this country will be the most sought-after country on planet Earth. What was the world like 40 years ago? Because I remember. 40 years ago was 1976. Okay. Manufacturing was booming in this country. People had jobs. Education was more reading, writing, arithmetic from the K through 12. College degrees didn't exist. They were unemployable. You could get a college degree subsidized by your state or your government. And believe me, you could get your destiny. In terms of art, well, come on. What was on the radio in 1976? Some of the best bands to ever exist on planet Earth's modern-day history. The films that were coming? Okay. The very next year, Star Wars came out. Within the next 10 years, Indiana Jones, Blade Runner, Tron, Alien. The list goes on. Poltergeist. We had three Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I mean, this country was outputting its best stuff 40 to 30 years ago. So if anybody tells you, well, Trump's going to take us back 40 years, go, fuck yeah, I certainly hope so. Because it was a hell of a lot better world, and we weren't all assholes, and we didn't live with terrorism. We didn't have to pay taxes on our cell phone, because cell phone companies use terrorism as a technique to tax you. A phantom tax, right? The Constitution of the United States, based on Magna Carta, has 10 Bill of Rights, the first 10. And those were actually working. Freedom of speech, right to bear arms, no eavesdropping. Unlike the Boston bombing, you didn't have to house soldiers randomly because they want to run through your house without search warrants. The biggest controversy we had was Richard Nixon getting nailed. Even that was over by 76. I actually don't think that any of my mega entitled friends who thought the election was going to go their way simply because they sat in their baby seat at the kitchen table covered in cream corn, smashing their hands down, screaming. I don't think they're ever going to listen between now and the end of their life. If they're in certain age brackets, they're going to die that way. And so, in a way, you know, we mourn people who die, right? They're wonderful people, and something takes their life somehow. And then we spend the rest of our lives being alive, mourning their loss, mourning losing them. Entitlement is almost like a zombifying disease, in my opinion, in my experience. I think that it has grown over and into some of my friends, and I think that their ability to appreciate and enjoy life is going to be curbed significantly by the virus. And so in some ways, we have death certificates sort of randomly being written for our friends. But the interesting end and rebirth to that metaphor is to say, I would imagine less than a single percent will ever resurrect themselves out of the problem. You know, there's now going to be a giant army of people that will simply want Trump to fail and thus America to fail so they can be right. Because they're not big enough to change their minds, to be wrong. There's another group of people that are sort of sitting on the fence and going, well, you know, I am, from my perspective, they think that Hillary should have won, but they're willing to kind of give Trump a try. Let's just see. But I'll tell you one thing about entitled people that might be useful for what we're trying to do here, which is to get them to live in a more equal society and not make everything a socialistic handout. And that is this. There's a force in the universe on a mental level called the haves and the have-nots, right? If you consider yourself a person who respects the vote, you respect why soldiers die all around the world constantly to defend the vote within their sovereign free countries, which is definitely the United States of America, you will endeavor to become a have, and that have will be your destiny. That will result in the have of your happiness. that will result in the overall classification of this country as a happy country with people that get their destinies, right? Like all the foreigners that come in legally, bust their ass, and get what they want, not just what they need. The entitled nation is a weak-minded nation, a very, very weak-minded nation. Now, some of them have been beaten down by the system because they were promised this is the way the world works, and if you get these things, you get things, right? You get a college degree, forget what it's in, and you'll just get a job. Well, Starbucks hires a lot of those people. But if we become the haves, then they will gravitate towards our methodologies, to our philosophies of life. Let's just be very clear that when they observe us and ask us questions about how we got where we got, that we have great answers for them, right? When they say, how'd you get that, you know? And your answer is, I worked hard, and I did whatever I could do to increase my level of opportunity in the world such that I could use my skills to get this thing. And the bumper is, and I didn't expect anyone to give it to me. I realized if I wanted it, I had to go get it. I apply a law of attraction as well, but in the end, it's a combination of all those forces working together. And I fell down and I got up, and I fell down and I got up. And even though some days I didn't feel like getting up, I still did it. And I realized that my life doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump specifically. We have enough freedom that no matter who is the president of this country, no matter if they're evil or good or whatever, indifferent, there's enough freedom in this country for you to go get the education that you need to develop the skills that you need. Again, YouTube is an amazing online college. I would dare say there's virtually no subject that you can't learn on YouTube at whatever level of detail you want to learn, from astrophysics to how to draw an eyeball with a pencil. But you know, it takes attitude, man. It takes a personality and an opinion that you have to own these things. Now, you will still have your sort of commune hippies that will never want to work. They want to beg, 16 hours a day for enough pocket change to eat, as opposed to working 8 hours a day and going to Hawaii twice a year. I think you feel me. We all know this entitlement thing exists. I think that the one entitlement that we have, again, is our rights because we exist, our inalienable rights because we exist. That one's okay. That one's okay. As long as we don't do anything to infringe it, right? We don't go off and pass laws to infringe on our inalienable rights. If you dig this show, please subscribe. If you like this episode, please like. Again, it's a variety show. Just know that. Subjects change quite a bit. The name of the game is rebuilding the pyramid from the bottom up. I'm just sharing my ideas. Please share yours in the comments. The comments are so amazing. I almost wish I could somehow use YouTube to create a forum that is all of the comments for all the videos. Like, I see them that way. I get to see it all at once. You guys have to search around in the videos to find their latest comment. But there are so many amazing comments that I know that unless you revisit old stuff, you won't see it. So take care of yourself and someone else, and I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.